Today's daf is Shabbos daf Hey. We are holding on daf Hey Amar Aleph. We actually got to daf Hey. We're about 8 lines into the page on daf Hey Amar Aleph. We should always have a 26-minute shiur. Maybe we'll get ahead of ourselves. So we're holding at Ella Amar Rabbi Zeira on daf Hey Amar Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. Manny and Marsha Wasserman in honor of their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. We thank Uncle Manny and Aunt Marsha very much for their sponsorship, and is also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and we thank again Dr. Landerer very much for his sponsorship. So we're right in the middle of the sugya, really. The Gemara is in the middle of discussing who could be the author of our Mishnah, where our Mishnah seems to make the assumption, or why it is that our Mishnah makes the assumption that a hand is considered, placing something in a hand is considered a hanacha, and taking something out of a hand is considered an akira. After all, don't you require a makom of dalet al dalet tfachim in order to do an akira or a hanacha? So we had two approaches yesterday, and we're going to have four more approaches on Amud Aleph today, on Hey Amud Aleph today. Why it is that a hand is considered to be a makom that you could do an akira from, or a hanacha too, even though a hand physically, a normal human hand physically, is not dalet al dalet tfachim. The Gemara is then going to discuss, what about throwing something? I throw something and another guy catches it. Is that called that I did the akira and the hanacha, or is it no? I did the akira. By him catching it, he did the hanacha. The Gemara is even going to discuss, what if I throw something and then I run and I catch it? Yeah. So is that considered to be that I did the akira and the hanacha? The Gemara is going to discuss, what if a person catches rain? Is that he catches rain in a Rosh Hashanah and brings it out to Rosh Hasharabim? So is that considered that he did an akira and a hanacha? Then in Amud Beis, we're going to discuss whether something is considered to be munach if it's resting on water. Let's say I lift something up off of the water and then place it down somewhere else. Did I do an akira if it was resting on water? We're going to talk about a number of cases. Water on top of water, oil on water, a kli on water, something in a kli that's floating on water. So just what the status is when something's on water, because water obviously moves. Then the Gemara is going to discuss an akira with the intent to move something within a Rosh Hashanah, but then I change my mind and I walk outside. So I pick something up in Rosh Hashanah, thinking I'm just going to walk around the Rosh Hashanah, no intent for any iser over there, but then as I'm carrying it, I just walk right outside into the Rosh Hashanah. Is that considered that there's an akira and anacha? What if I pause and I take a break somewhere along my walk? So we're going to have that discussion as well. So let's begin again. We are holding on daf Hey Amud Aleph, 8 lines into the page. We're up to answer number 3 in terms of how could our Mishnah say that an akira from a yad is considered an akira and a hanacha into a yad is considered a hanacha. So Elam Rabbi Zeira, Hamani Acherim hi. Our Mishnah must be assuming like the Shita of Acherim. Ditanya Acherim Omer, because we have a Brisa that tells us that Acherim hold that Amad bin Makom of a Kibel Chayiv. That let's say I throw an object and the guy that I threw it two is standing in place and he just catches it in place. So then I'm going to be chayiv because I did the akira and the hanacha. It landed exactly where I threw it to, where I intended to throw it to. Akar mi makom of a kibel potter. But if he had to move in order to catch it, he had to run out of his place in order to catch it, then the zorek is going to be potter. Because I didn't do the hanacha, the mekabel did the hanacha. He ran to catch it, so he's the one that did the hanacha. Amad mi makom of a kibel chayiv, habi in hanacha gabi makom arba'a. Wait a second. How could you say that if the guy stands in place and I threw it to him and he catches it, that I'm chayiv, but he caught it in his hand and it's not a makom of arba'a? Veleka, you don't have a makom of arba over here. El shemamina lo bein on makom arba. So what you see over here is that acherim hold that you don't need a makom of arba. So our mishnah must be going like acherim, that as long as a guy catches it in his hand, it's not necessary to have a makom of arba. Who are acherim? So in Masech, at the very end of Maseches Horios, Dav Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us that acherim is the Tana Rabbi Meir. There's some sort of maisa where they made a knas on Rabbi Meir that he was no longer going to be able to be called by his name. He was only going to be called acherim. So the Be'er Sheva explains that all of those halachos that Rabbi Meir said before they called him acherim, it get recorded in the Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Meir. So you could actually tell what Rabbi Meir said when he was younger and what he said when he was older. That when he's Rabbi Meir, that's when he was younger. When we call him Acherim, that was a little bit later on in his life. Furthermore, over here, here we pointed out that if the guy had to be oker mi makomo to catch it, then I'm going to be potter because the hanacha was not really done from the koach of the zorik. The makabel had to run and catch it. That's how Rashi explains. Meaning, I intended to throw it 8 amos, and the guy runs and he catches it when it only traveled 4 amos in the Rosh Hashanah. So the makabel stopped the object from resting where it would have rested, where I was really throwing it to, which was further away. He intercepted it in between. So that's considered that he's the one that's doing the hanacha. So the Ritva just points out, do not say that what we're talking about over here is that he intercepted it before it traveled 4 amos. Because if that's the case, then of course I'm pater. Because even if Amad Bimakomo and he catches it within 4 amos, if it was not, you're not Mavir, Dalai Amos Prusha Sam, so Mele it's going to be pater. In Chudush Aran, he says, wait a second, isn't this Din Nadavar Pashut, that if the guy has to run to catch it, I'm not the one that did the Hanacha, he's the one that did the Hanacha. He says, no, the Chiddush is that even if I intended to throw it to this person, I just overthrew it, and he is the one that actually caught it, so I'm happy about it. I was passing a football, and he made a nice catch, but I was intending he was the intended receiver. Nevertheless, it's still considered that he did the Hanacha, right? Even though the quarterback gets credit for the yardage, but the receiver also gets credit for making the catch. So SMS wonders whether he has to be Oker Mimkomo Mamish, or it just has to be something that someone would say, ooh, nice catch. Meaning, like, sometimes a guy sticks out his hand, and, like, you weren't expecting that. So, good catch. So SMS has such a suffix. Is that considered Amad Mimkomo, or is that considered Okar mi makomo? Okay, so says this would be like a good Gemara to teach in high school. You can so says the Gemara, v'dilma hanachu hu delo bi'inan ha'akira bi'inan. But that doesn't really prove everything. That just proves that you don't need a hanacha on a makom dalid al dalid. That the hanacha could be in a person's hands, but maybe you still require an akira v'hanacha nami. And even by the hanacha, dilma de pashat kanfei v'kibla. Did it say anywhere when acherim were speaking that the guy caught it with his hands? Maybe he caught it with his bag. He stretched out his jacket, which is more than 4x4 tzvachim, and he caught it in his jacket. How do you know that he caught it with his hands? The ikanami hanacha. In such a case, you'd actually have a hanacha on a makom that's dalet al dalet tzvachim. So you can't bring a raya from acherim that you don't need a hanacha on a makom arba'a, and therefore back to our kasha. Our Mishnah says that when you put something into the hand of the ani, or into the hand of the balabais, take something out of the hand of the ani, out of the hand of the balabais, where do we have precedent for such a thing that a hand is considered a makom? Normally, you need dalet al dalet tzvachim. So says our fourth answer. Amar Abba Masnisin Kigona. We're going to go with the Girsas Habach over here. Sha'akra Mitraskal. You didn't take it out of the fellow's hand. The fellow was holding a basket in his hand, and you took it out of the basket that was in his hand. And he niachal gabe traskal. When you placed it down, it wasn't into the ani's hand, into the balabais's hand. It was into the basket that the ani or the balabais was holding. Dikanami hanacha. I frankly more of a yado katani, but it didn't say in the Mishnah basket. It says yado. So to me, traskel should be yado. You have to change it a little. It means the basket that's in his hand. It doesn't mean his hand mamish. So that's the way to understand the Mishnah. So it says more, well, if our Mishnah is talking about that you're putting it in a basket, so then our Mishnah would not conform to everybody's shita as far as the status of a basket. Meaning, if you have a basket that's in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that a guy is holding on to, so when you put something in that basket, have you really placed it in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? That itself is a machlokas. So if our Mishnah is assuming every time you put it in the Ani's basket, you're putting it in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's not so clear. Ha tenach traskel b'Rosh Hashanah Yachid. This works very well if the basket is in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. That certainly has a status of a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. El traskel shab Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But the basket on the Ani's side of things, Rosh Hashanah Yachid who? That's going to have the status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, as we're about to explain, is the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore if a Baal HaBayis takes something from his Rosh Hashanah Yachid and puts it in the Ani's basket, he should not be chay if he didn't put it into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So lema delok Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, unless you want to suggest that our Mishnah goes against the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, which we're about to learn, and holds that a basket in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is actually Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds a basket in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Titani Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer, not kone Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If a person sticks a pole into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, uberosho traxel. Right, he has this big stick, he sticks it into Rosh Hashanah. Someone brought me a sugar cane yesterday for Shalchan. It's an actual sugarcane. I have no idea what to do with it. But you have it's a giant stick. So yeah, I've never seen an actual sugarcane. So that was interesting. But if anyone wants one, let me know. So you stick a giant stick in the Rosh Hashanah, and then on top of the stick, you have a basket on top of the stick, a barosha treskel. On top of the stick, you have a basket that's 4x4 tefachim wide. But the basket, Rashi adds on Daf Kofalov, where this comes up, that it's not 10 tefachim deep. The basket itself is not 10 tefachim deep. V'zarak v'nachal gabav. And then you threw something from a Rosh Hasharabim and it landed on that basket. Chayiv. You're chayiv for being machnis from the Rosh Hasharabim to the Rosh Hashayachid. But if we're going to consider that our Mishnah is talking about where there's a basket, so then our Mishnah must be against Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Dik Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Pasha Bala Bayis Yad Al-Chutz, V'nosan Tzolchid Al-Shalani, Amai Chayiv. If you're going to consider a basket to be a Rosh Hashayachid, why when the Bala Bayis takes something from his Rosh Hashayachid and puts it out into the Ani's basket, would he be chayiv? It's a Rosh Hashayachid. Rosh Hashayachid come epic. All he did was he moved something from one Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid. So it must be that our Mishnah, if this is how you can answer up our Mishnah, we're talking about a basket, then our Mishnah only conforms with the Shita of the Chachamim and not with the Shita of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So why is that so terrible? Meaning all we're trying to do is come up with some way that our Mishnah makes sense. So we just need someone that our Mishnah goes like. We were perfectly happy saying our Mishnah is assuming like Achayrim, our Mishnah is assuming like Rebbe, our Mishnah is assuming like this. So what's so bad if you say our Mishnah is assuming like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? So the Achronim point out that all the Stam Mishnayos throughout the Masechta assume like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why we're uncomfortable saying that the first Stam Mishnah in the whole Masechta assumes like the Chachamim, even though normally you would assume the Chachamim is the majority opinion, but it just doesn't work out that way, that all of our Mishnayos assume like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What is the Svar over here? Why would a basket be considered Rosh Hashayachid if its walls are not Ten Tefachim? One of the characteristics of Rosh Hashayachid is you need walls that are Ten Tefachim. So there are certain dinim of Mechitzos that are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. One such din of Mechitzos that's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is a din called Gud Achis Mechitzta, that even if you don't have an actual Mechitza that's Ten Tefachim, but you have some Mechitza and then airspace beneath it, we view the Mechitza as if it goes straight down, as if it continues to go straight down. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's a legal fiction, it's not an actual Mechitza, it's not a physical Mechitza, but we view that Mechitza as if it extends. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds Gud Achis Mechitza, that the basket starts, the walls of the basket start the Mechitzos, and the Mechitzos continue, we view them as if they continue straight down to the floor. So therefore, you actually have walls that are 10 tefachim tall, when you consider the imaginary part of the wall, and the Makom Dalet Al Dalet, and that's why the basket would have a status of Rosh Hashayachid. So it says Marno, I feel the Tamer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. You could even say that our Mishnah is talking about a basket, and nevertheless it fits with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, even though Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda held that a basket is the status of Rosh Hashayachid. How does that all work out? Hasam l'malame asara. When Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says a basket is the status of Rosh Hashayachid, that's where it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. So when you apply gurachis, you actually have 10 tefach mechitzos. But hacha l'matame asara. Our Mishnah that assumed the basket is not a Rosh Hashayachid is when it's lower than 10 tefachim. It's within 10 tefachim of the ground, where you can't apply Gud Achis. Gud Achis is not going to generate mechitzos for you because you don't have 10 tefachim to work with. So that's how it could even be going like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. But says Gemara, still we're not happy with this resolution. Kashle Rabbi Avahu, mi katani traskel shabiyado, vahayado katani. But bottom line is, the Mishnah didn't say anything about a basket. The Mishnah said you put it into the hand of the Ani, the hand of the Balabais, nothing about baskets. So we're unhappy with approach number four in how to resolve our Mishnah. So we move on to approach number five. Elo Amar Rabbi Avahu, the case is, why is it that when you put something into the hand of the Ani, that's considered that you put it onto a makom that's dalit al-dalit, could go shoshil shil yada l'mata mishlosha. The Ani put his hand within three tefachim of the ground, and anything that's within three tefachim of the kibbutz, and he received it that way. And anything that's within three tefachim of the ground is considered lavud. That's another halacha l'moshe misinai. Another imaginary that anything within three tefachim we consider as if it's closed off. We consider it as if it's all the same spot. So if a person's hand is within three tefachim of the ground, that's the equivalent of putting it on the ground itself. So it says Gemara, but wait a second. Vaha omed katani. The Mishnah said that the ani was omed in the Rosh Hashanah. So if he's standing, how does he have his hand hand within three tefachim of the ground. He would have to be crouching or sitting in order to get his hand within three tefachim of the ground. Says Gemara, three possible ways how his hand can be within three tefachim of the ground, even though he's standing. Number one, b'shochet. Maybe he's bending over. He's crouching. V'ba yisema, beguma. Or maybe he's standing in a ditch that's in the Rosh Hasharabim. So he's sticking his hand outside of the ditch, and his hand is within three tefachim of the ground, but his body is inside of the ditch. And you have to say, Tosfos points out, that the ditch itself is also part of the Rosh Hasharabim. How could a ditch be part of Rosh Hasharabim? That Rabim Mishtam Shimba, that the people that pass by the Rosh Hasharabim use that ditch, or it can be traversed easily. It's made for Hiluch Rabim. It's like a pothole in the street that cars drive over all day. But if the Guma had no use for the Rabim, and then it would be considered a Carmelis or a Makom Patur, then there's no way you'd be Chayiv, even though the guy's hand is sticking outside of the ditch, because the hand is considered to go Basar Gufo. It's considered to be wherever his body is, Tosfos points out. So Rabbi Yavohu holds that your Pater, since the Yad is Nigrar Achar, the Rishus that the body is in, and you would not be considered Rishus HaRabim, where the hand is. So it must be that the Guma that we're talking about, says Tosfos, the Guma itself is a Rishus HaRabim. The Sfasema says, you know, Lule Divrei HaTosfos, I would have been Mechalek between a case where a person is machnis yado with peros into another rishus to lower than three tefachim, where you putter even though you didn't put the peros, you putter until you put the peros down, because the yad is still considered part of your body and it hasn't left your rishus until you place it down. But a maisa hanacha that you do on another person's hand that's outstretched right over within three tefachim of another rishus, maybe that is called a hanacha. There's one thing when you haven't released it yet from your hand, so it's not yet called a hanacha, even though it's stretched out into another rishus. But if you've released it into someone else's hand that's stretched out into another rishus, says Sfas Emes, I would have thought that that actually is called a hanacha in that rishus. Lule divrei atosos. But Tosfos says a more simple pshat, that the guma that the guy's standing in is actually part of the rishus rabin. V'ba yisema, how else can you have a case where the guy is standing and yet his hand is within three tefachim of the ground? Bananas. We're talking about someone who's a dwarf, and therefore he's very, very short, so it's very easy for him to have his hand down within three tefachim of the ground. So three possibilities of how it could, so again, the fifth explanation of how our Mishnah could be talking about doing an akira or anacha on a human hand, a human hand is not dalal al dal tefachim, is that we're talking about a human hand that's within three tefachim of the ground. How could a guy have his hand within three tefachim of the ground if he's standing up? So three explanations. He's bending over, he's standing in a hole, or he's a little person. So says Gemara, Amar Rava, Ichbo Tana Lashmin Kalhani, the first Mishnah, Masech HaShavis, telling us a classic case of Hotzah, and it's relying on the fact that the guy's standing in a ditch. It's relying on the fact that the guy is bending over, that the guy is a dwarf. I mean, come on, that's what are the chances that would be it's such a rachel case to have as an example that the Mishnah gives. So it's unlikely. So says Gemara, the sixth and final possibility of how to explain our Mishnah: Ella Amarava Yado Shel Adam Chashuvalo Karba'a Al Arba'a. A person's hand has the halachic status of 4x4 tefachim, even though physically the hand is only about one tefach by 1.5 tefachim, but it has a status of 4x4 tefachim lahalacha. The Rabbim explains why. Because what's the whole idea of hanacha? That you're putting it on a place that can actually hold it. So a platform that's 4x4 tefachim can hold something. A hand has the ability to grasp. So a hand that works, since it has the ability to grasp, it has a greater ability to hold than an equivalent inanimate object that's of the same size. So that's what one understands. That's why the hand has a status of 4x4 tefachim. The Rashba writes in the name of the Ravid, but a hand is not a Rishos La'atzma to be considered a Karmelis if it's Lamata Me'asara, or it's not a Rishos La'yachid if it's Lamala Me'asara tefachim. Because on the one hand, no pun intended, a hand has the ability to grasp, and therefore it can be considered Dalit al Dalit Tfachim in certain respects, but it's not Cholik Rishus Liatzmo. It doesn't become its own Rishus because a human is also always moving. He's Navinad all over the place. He's always moving, as opposed to a typical Rishus is a stationary area. Rishus Yachid, a Carmel is, it just is. So it doesn't have the status of an inanimate object as 4x4 Tfachim, but it has the status of being Chashuv like 4x4 Tfachim. That's what the Rashba points out. V'chein Kiyasa Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yadu Shalagim, Chashuv lo Karb. And Ravin said the same thing, that a person's hand has the status of four tefachim by four tefachim. So the Tosos is bothered by Akasha, Tosos and Dalet and Beis, Dibra Maschil Ella, Tosos is bothered by Akasha, he says, understand, why do you have to say such an akimta that the hand is four tefachim by four tefachim? We have other cases, and the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, that if a person... if a person spits or urinates from a Rishus Yachid into a Rishus Rabin, so is that called that he did an Akira from Makom Dalet Tfachim al Dalet Tfachim? So the Gemara says, yeah, because that was his intention. His intention was to remove it from his body, so even though it wasn't actually, his mouth is not actually four Tfachim by four Tfachim, but whenever it's Nasis Machshavaso, then that's considered Ki'ilu, you're Oker, for, or the Gemara says, you throw something to a dog and the dog catches it in his mouth, right? You're playing catch with the dog. So the dog's mouth is not four Tfachim by four Tfachim, but that's where you were throwing it. You were throwing it into the dog's mouth. Or you throw something into the pea kivshan, you're trying to burn something, and you throw it into the opening of an oven. So why not say the same thing over here, that nasal machshavaso? You don't have to say that hand always has the status of four tvachim by four tvachim. Just say that the person's machshava was mekuyam. So Tosa suggests that it's only when he wanted it to dafka be in this place, and there's no other way that his ratzon would have been miskayim. Like if a person spits or urinates, he dafka wanted it to come out of his mouth, to come out of his body. If a person throws something into the dog's mouth, he wanted the dog to eat it. He wanted the dog to have it in his mouth. That's when you're machshavit as a makom. But if you have no interest in a dafka going into this location, so then it would not be machshavit as a makom. And therefore, the chiddush is that a yad is always dalet al dalet tfachim, even though you had no interest dafka in it ending up in that person's yad. That's, and then the Ramban has a couple of other terutzim as well to that kasha. But that's what the Gemara's conclusion over here is, that for sure that a hand has a status of dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim. Am Rabbi Yavon, Am Rabbi Loi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, zarak chayfet v'nach b'toch yadu shel chavero chayev. Maikom Ashmalon, yadu shalom chashuv lo karba al arba, v'amar Rabbi Yochanan chadazimna. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yavon, in the name of Rabbi Loi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan says, that if a person throws an object and it lands in someone's hand, you're chayev, because that's considered anacha on a makom that's dalet al dalet tfachim. Says Mark, but we just said that. So how many times does Rabbi Yochanan have to say the same thing, that a hand has the status of dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim? Says Mark, no. Mal de tei mahani mili hecha da achshva hu liyadei. Aval hecha da lo achshva hu liyadei. Emalo. I might have thought that it's only if you're machshiv the yad of your friend by putting something in it, that's where it's considered dalet al dalet tfachim. But if you weren't machshiv your friend's yad, you didn't intend to throw it into your friend's yad. But the chayfet happened to go into his hand, I would think that that's not considered, that there was a hanacha on a makom dalet al dalet. So kamash blan, that's why Rabbi Yochanan tells me that whether you intended it to go in your friend's hand or didn't intend it to go in your friend's hand, bottom line is, it landed on a place that's considered dalet al dalet tfachim, because a human hand is considered dalet al dalet tfachim. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Loi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, another statement of Rabbi Yochanan relating to hotza'a, if a person throws an object to a friend that's 4 amos away in a Rosh Hashanah. Amad b'makom v'kibel, so we already learned this, that if a person is standing, the person who catches it, the receiver is standing in place and catches it, chayiv, then the zorik is going to be chayiv because he did both the akira and the anacha. But akram b'makom v'kibel, if the receiver had to move in order to catch it, pater, then the zorik is going to be pater because he didn't do the whole malach. It's pater of lasu, he did the akira and not the anacha. The receiver is the one that did the anacha. Tani nami hachi, acherim omrim, amad b'makom v'kibel chayiv, akram b'makom v'kibel Potter, that if a person stood in place and he caught the object, he's chayiv, but if the receiver moved and he caught it, he's potter. By Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says, what about the following? Zorak chayfetz v'nekar hu mimakomo v'chazar v'kiblo. What if you threw something up in the air and you caught it yourself? you ran to catch it. So mahu, what's the din? Are you chayiv for being mavir dalar shusram or no? So my coming by le, what exactly is the suffix? Why would you be patur? Meaning you moved it 4 amos and shusram, you caught it yourself. Your own hand is dalar tzvachim al dalar tzvachim. Why on earth would you possibly be patur? Some rav adavarava shnei kochus b'demechad coming by le. The suffix is if a person does a malacha and he plays two roles that the object didn't get to where it was supposed to get. The object got there through his zrika, but the zorik went and stopped it from getting to where it would have gotten as a result of your zrika. Meaning you threw it, it would have gone further, but then you went and you intercepted it yourself, so it didn't go where it was originally going to go. So shnei kochos b'demechad, if you have two actions that are done by one person, ka'ademechadami, do we view that as one person doing the entire action and therefore v'chayiv, you're chayiv because you did both an akira and an acha, odilmak shnei b'nei adam dami, or maybe we view it as if you're two different people doing the malacha. One guy does an akira and the other guy does the hanacha, not where the akira was intended to go, not where it was intended to go at the time of the akira. So pater, you're going to be pater, maybe you're pater from a chatas. So says Gemara, tekuth. Gemara leaves that as an unresolved question. You're certainly not allowed to do this because it's even when it's pater avlaser. You're not allowed to do the akira and you're not allowed to do the hanacha. Question is, are you chayim from a chatas as someone who did both the akira and the hanacha? The riff leaves this whole thing out. The rush quotes Rabbi Yochanan, and he quotes this suffix, and he leaves it as a teku. So some of the achronim are bothered. Why does the Rush even bring this? The Rush normally only brings things that are nogea lahalacha. Over here, there's no shayla. You're not allowed to do this, right? Lahalacha, you're not allowed to do this. What's the whole question? Are you chayiv chatas? So Mitzvah Shem, we should be zochah to have a Beis Hamikdash where we have such shaylas. But the Maisa, the Rush doesn't talk about such shaylas. He doesn't talk about the hilchos of the Mashiach of what's going to be when we have a Beis Hamikdash, whether you're chayiv chatas or not. So there must be some nafkamina. So some of the Achronim suggest that there's nafkamina based on what the Rush writes about the case of Hidbik Pas B'tanur, that if you put the dough on the oven, Hitiru L'Lerudosi, you're allowed to do R'diyas HaPas before you come to an Isra Skila of baking the bread, and even if you put the dough in the oven b'shogeg, you're allowed to be rode to the pas. So it would be a nafkamina if a person threw the object in a Rosh Hashravim and he could still catch it right now. So I would have thought that he should run after it so that he could avoid his chiyuv, right? He could get out of the chiyuv because otherwise he's going to be chayiv. So that's why the Rosh says that that you can't be poshet this suffik, and even if he catches it, it's not so clear. It's still a suffik chiyuv chatas. So it could be that he's running for no reason. Meaning if you know that by running you're going to catch a sentence, just like with Diyas HaPas, you'll be able to stop yourself from the chiyuv. But if you hold that that by running and catching it, you're not sure that running and catching it is going to save you anything, because it might be like other mechad anyway, so then there's no sense in going to run and catch it. Why not? At least it's only a suffik if I run and catch it. Well, says the Rosh, because you're sacrificing something. By running and catching it, you're taking a psia gasa on Shabbos. Rosh says, but this is what the Achronim say within the, that you're taking a psia gasa on Shabbos. So don't go actively take a psia gasa, which is a violation of the pasuk in Yeshayahu and Divrei Kabbalah. Rather, stay in place and just let happen what happens. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Another comment of Rabbi Yochanan, la halacha relating to Otsa'a. Hichnis yada l'toch chotzer chaver v'kibel megishamim v'hotzi chayev. If a person puts his hand inside another person's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, catches rain, and brings the rain out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he's chayiv. So, Masmer Abzer, Mali Yatinu Chaveru, Mali Yatinu Shamayim, Iulo Aver Akira. Wait a second, we just learned on Daf Gimel that if someone loads you up with a bundle and then you walk out, so you're going to be pater because you didn't do the akira. Well, I mean, if you were walking, meaning if akira's gufo, right? That was all discussion that akira's gufo might be considered an akira. But what difference does it make whether hitino chavero or hitino shemayim if someone else puts something on you and you carry the chayfetz out into Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah says that you're pater versus that was beferish in our Mishnah. Someone else put the object in your hand, right, and then you take it out, you're potter. So what difference does it make between that and HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting the rain into your hand and you taking it out? You should also be potter. Ilo avad akira. Bottom line is you didn't do the akira. So says Maralotem kibel el kolat. Now the case is not that you just catch the rain in your hand and bring it out. No, the case is that you smack the rain with one hand into your other hand and then bring it out. So you're the one that placed it into your other hand. So says Maralotem akira. You caught the rain in mid-air. You smacked the rain out of the air. So you didn't take it off of a place that was dalet al dalet tefachim. So there was no akira. So now the case is the rain was running down a wall, and that's how you cut it off of the wall, and therefore it is on a makam that's dalet al dalet tefachim. Says rain doesn't rest on a wall. The wall is like it's vertical, so it's just running down the wall. So even if you're putting your hand right next to the wall, it wasn't munach there. And if it wasn't munach there, when you took it off of there, that's not called an akira. Says just like Rava said in a different context. We're talking about a wall that's on a slant. It widens at the bottom. Think more like a pyramid and less like a straight wall. So therefore, the rain is resting there. Sachanami, because of Meshufa. So just like Rava said that in a different context, we'll see soon what that context is. So it's over here by the rain. If the rain is running down the side of a pyramid and you catch it off the side of a pyramid, so that is actually catching something off of a makam that's dalet al dalet tefachim, and therefore when you then take it out into another reshus, you have done the akira and the hanacha. So says Mar Vehecha Idmar de Rava. Where was Rava's original statement about a slanted wall? Ahadit Nan. It relates to a Mishnah in Maseches Erevin that Hayakari b'Sefer Al Iskof. If a person is reading a sefer on a doorstep that between his house and the Rishus Rabim, so the doorstep itself has a din of a karmelis v'niskalgal a sefer miyado, and the sefer that he's reading, and think a sefer not like a book, but think sefer like Megillah. So I guess that's a Daf Yomi coincidence on the afternoon that on Shushan Purim, that a Megillah rolls down. So it rolls down from your hand, and you're holding one end of it in your hand in the Karmelis, and the other end is down in the Rosh Hasharabim. So golulo et slow. You can roll it back up toward yourself, because midrabanan, you're not allowed to take something from a Rosh Hasharabim to a Karmelis, but over here, where you're still holding one end of the Sefer, and you're not being oker the Sefer from Rosh Hasharabim, the Chum allow you to do it. But a Yekori Brosh Hagag, well, let's say you were on a Rosh Hasayachid, you're reading the Sefer on the top of a roof, v'niskalgal Sefer miyado, and it unfurls and rolls down. If the other end of the Megillah is still more than 10 tefachim off the ground, then golulo etzlo. Then you can roll it back up, because the airspace more than 10 tefachim off of the ground in Rosh Hasharabim is not considered Rosh Hasharabim. It's considered a makom patur. So for sure you can roll it back up. But if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, then hofcho al ksav. Turn the sefer upside down so that turn the Megillah upside down so that the ksav is facing the wall, because it's a bizarre Zion, to have the ksav facing upwards. You don't leave a sefer open, right? That's why we never leave the ksav of a sefer exposed unless you're actually using it. That's why the minhag is that we cover the sefer Torah in between aliyos, that we always we don't leave the sefer exposed. So the Gemara in Maseches Erevin says, you know what? Even if it were face down, that's also a bizayon, but it's less of a bizayon. So that's why when we leave a room, we also don't flip a sefer over on its face, we just close it. But to turn the sefer face down is also bizayon, but not as much of a bizayon, so it's the best option over here. So we asked, am I hovcha al aksav? Halo nach, why do you have to be hovcha al aksav? The sefer never rested in Rosh Hasharabim, and so even if you're not holding the sefer in your hand, there's no issur d'oraisa to bring it back, because it's not rested resting in Rosh Hasharabim. So Vamarava because of the Shupa. Yes, it is resting in Rosh Hasharabim. How so? Because the wall is not a vertical wall, it is a slanted wall. And therefore the sefer is resting along the length of the wall. So Amar da Amarava be sefer da avid denayich. Mi avidi denayichi. Says, well, wait a second. So Rava's original context was talking about a sefer along the side of a pyramid or along the side of a slanted wall. We're going to apply this and we're going to say, okay, that's considered nach. That's considered that it's resting in place. So to pick it up would be an akira. Water streaming down the side of a slanted wall is the same as a sefer. The water doesn't rest in any one place. How can you say that hopping the water from a slanted wall is considered an akira? The water is just running straight down. Now the case must not be that you're taking the water from a wall that it's streaming down from, because you're right. right. That's not called munach. No, the water is in a guma. It's in a hole in the ground. It's in a puddle. So it says Gemara, well, guma pshita. Well, then, of course, if you pull water out of a puddle, of course you did an akira. It's pashut that that's considered that it's already resting. So ma'al d'tema ma'im agabe ma'im lav hanachlu hu kamash mlan. Now, I might have thought that when water is resting on top of other water, that's not considered munach. That's not considered that it's resting. So kamash mlan, that yes, it is. Va'az the rav l'tema, and this is rav l'shitaso, da'amar rav, ma'im agabe ma'im hainu hanachasan. That when water is resting on other water, that is the hanacha of water. That is how water rests. Egos al gabe mayim lav hainu hanachaso. But when a nut is floating on water, that's not considered that the nut is munach. And therefore, if you are oker it mimakomo and you bring it somewhere else, you're going to be pater. Even though legabe other halachas, Tosas points out that legabe kinyan chatzer, we say that if a boat is traveling on water, the boat is considered to be omid bimakoma, and it's the water that's moving, but the boat is considered to be stationary, and therefore the boat can work for a kinyan chatzer. A chatzer ma'aleches typically cannot work for a kinyan chatzer. Let's say a behema that's moving can't work for a kinyan chatzer, but a boat can. So an egos that's munach al gabe emayim would, I would think, should also be considered munach. So you have to say that the Gemara is talking dafka over there, the inyan kinyan chatzer, that the boat is not considered a chatzer ma'aleches, because we learn chatzer from yad, and yad also moves around. But so the rules are different for kinyan chatzer than they are for akira and hanacha in Hilchos Shabbos. So by Rav raises the following shayla: Egos bekliv klisaf al gabe mayim. What if the egos is in a cup and the cup or a plate and the plate is floating on the water? So basar egos azlin v'hanayich. Do you say, well, the egos is sitting in place because it's sitting on the plate? It's not moving from one part of the plate to the other. It's stationary, and therefore to be oker that egos would be in akira. Or do you say, no, well, the plate that it's on is floating and is moving in the water, and therefore by being oker that egos, you're not going to be oker anything because it's not really resting. So, or another shayla, shemen shetzaf al gabe yayin. If you have oil that's floating on top of wine, and then you remove that oil, are you removing the oil from somewhere that it's resting, or do we assume not that way? So machlokas Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri Rabbanan. That happens to be machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and the Rabbanan in an entirely different context. In the Mishnah Maseches Tevul Yom Ditnan, the Mishnah tells us in the second paragraph of Maseches Tevul Yom, Shemin Shetzaf Al Gabe Yayin. Let's say you have Truma oil that's floating on top of Truma wine. Vinaga Tevul Yom B'Shemin. And someone who's a Tevul Yom who has a din of a Sheni Latuma, the guy who has a din of a Sheni Latuma, touches just the oil. So Lo Pasal El Shemin Vilvad. So even though the oil is floating on top of wine and the Tevul Yom touched the Truma oil, and Truma can become a Shlishi Latuma, he only passel the oil. He does not passel the wine. The fact that that he touched the oil is not considered as if he touched the wine, because they are not considered to be connected to each other. So you only passel the oil, not the wine. The wine remains tahar. Rabbi Yochanan Uri Omer Shnei Mechubar Mezelzah. Rabbi Yochanan Uri says, no, the oil and the wine are connected to each other, and therefore by touching the oil, you've also touched the wine, and therefore you've also passel the wine. So just like you have this machlokas about a tevul yom touching, you'll have the same machlokas when it comes to Shabbos. According to the Chum, just like wine and shemen are not considered to be mechubar to each other, so too shemen that's munach al gabe yayin is not considered to be munach al gabe karka. Rather, it's not considered to be munach on the karka that the wine is munach on. So it's considered like an egos that's floating on mayim, where akira from that is not called an akira. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that the shemen and yayin are considered a single entity, so when you pick up that shemen from on top of the yayin, you're picking up shemen from the karka, because the yayin is on the karka, and the shemen and the yayin are considered the same thing. They're considered mechubra, they're considered to be a single entity. Why the Gemara thinks that the halachas of Tumma are necessarily going to match the halachas of Yitzias Shabbos is a good kasha that the Achronim deal with. But that's the Gemara's assumption, obviously. Another statement of Rabbi Yochanan when it comes to Otzah, V'am Rabbi Yavon, Am Rabbi Eloi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, a person is standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Hayata'un Ochlim Mashkin, and he's carrying Ochlim Mashkin just to carry them around the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But then, V'nichnas V'yosei Kol Yom Kulo, then he changes his mind and he starts walking in and out of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim all day long, which is sometimes, which is yachid, and doesn't stop.
Eino chayiv ad sheyamud.
He's not going to be chayiv until he stands still for a little bit. And as soon as he stands still, that's considered as if he placed that object down. And now when he goes and he moves again, he's doing a new akira of Isser now. But kol zman that he didn't stop at all, so he didn't do a maisa akira, because initially when he started moving, he didn't plan on going to another rishus. So it wasn't an akira that would have been mechayiv him. So as long as he keeps moving, as long as he keeps walking, right, that's what they suggest, that if a person realizes something is in his pocket, just keep moving, because as soon as you stop, so then that's going to be an anacha, and then your next movement is going to be an akira. So if you keep moving, so then it's not going to be an akira and an anacha. So Rabbi Vusham Adolfish, Rabbi says, when we say that if he stops, it's going to be a new akira, that's only if he stopped in order to be able to rest a little bit. So Mimai, how do I know that? Midamar Mar, Tochar Ba Amos Amadolfish Pater. If a person stops within 4 Amos in Rosh Hasharavim, then he's going to be Pater, because that stops his activity. So he didn't go full 4 Amos. But if he stops just to adjust his package to hold it better, then Chayiv, then he's going to be Chayiv, because that's part of his walk, is to be able to carry what he's holding. Chutz to 4 Amos, once he's gone beyond 4 Amos, Amadolfish Chayiv. Now if he stops to rest, he's going to be Chayiv. But Lekatev, just to adjust his package, then Pater, he's going to be Pater. So Mike Kamashmalan, Shaloi Sakira Mishar Mishar Lekach. What's the great Chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan is telling me? That the original Akira was not with the intention to carry outside, and that's why he's not going to be Chayiv. Hamar Rabbi Yochanan Chadazim, Nadam Rav Safar, Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Yochanan, Hamavar Chafetz Mizavis Lizavis, Venimach Lein Votzion, Pater, that if you're moving things within your Rosh Hashiachin, and then you change your mind and you walk out with it, you're Pater, Shaloi Sakira Mishar Mishar Lekach. So Rabbi Yochanan already taught us this. Says Amorai Ninu, Mara Mala Bahailishna, Mara Mala Bahailishna. Two different Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan were reporting what they heard from the Rebbe. One of them said it in one context, and the other one said it in a different context. But they're both saying the same thing, meaning in Echonami. They're saying exactly the same halacha. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots.